If you would, to Acts chapter number 9 tonight. Well, look at a portion of scripture. Want to get into two or three things, just thoughts. Sometimes preaching, you have one main focus you want to go to. Sometimes you want to just explain verse by verse, and sometimes you see little bits and pieces in here, and I want to share with you some little bits and pieces tonight, if you don't mind. I was in researching and reading. I did run into a guy. His name was Samuel Alexander Mudd. Anybody ever hear of Samuel Alexander Mudd? The one that shot Abraham Lincoln when he fled from him. What was his name? John Wilkes Booth. And when he fled from him, he went to that doctor. And that doctor pretended like he didn't know that he had shot the president. But when the government soldiers came, and he didn't give them up. And so he hid from them that he had treated, he broke his ankle or leg or something. And that was where the saying came in that, anybody ever say this? Their name ain't worth mud. That's where that saying came from. Because they couldn't trust nothing that the guy said. And his name was Mud. And said, your name ain't worth mud. And so if you ever get saying that, that's where it came from. Because even though he said he didn't know that he had killed the president, yet he hit him out and he didn't reveal him. And so they didn't believe anything he had to say. So if somebody said, well, you can't believe nothing they say. Their name ain't more than mud. That's where that saying came from. But anyway, tonight, I want to share with you three people that's introduced here. Four, really. In chapter 9, it starts out by telling us about the conversion of Paul. And from Saul to Paul. And some things that went on. And Peter kind of disappeared for a little bit because chapter 8, we were looking at Philip. And some of Philip's ministry in chapter 8 bleeds over when we get here talking about Lydda. Lydda was one of the areas in which Philip evangelized. And so Peter here was going through some of the areas in which he had preached. Philip had preached and evangelized. And he was doing some things there. But let's begin reading, if you would, in verse 32. And it came to pass, as Peter passed throughout all the quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwell at Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Annas, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Annas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise, make thy bed. And he arose immediately. And all that dwelt at Lydda and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord. Now remember that. They turned to the Lord. Then the Bible says in verse 36, now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha. And by the way, this is the only woman that was ever specifically said that she was a disciple. Disciple was a learner. But let me say this, Jesus used women, had a lot of women in his ministry. A lot of women in the area where you find Jesus, you'd find women being part. The church, the early church, had a lot of women. Don't ever think that women were not useful in the early church. And sometimes to hear some preach and teach, you would think that that was not the case. Now there's different positions and different responsibilities that they had, but they were very, very useful. And here the Bible says this Tabitha, and by the way, this was her Arabic name. Dorcas, the Bible we're going to find, is another name that her it referred to or interpreted as, and that was a Greek. Tabitha was the Arabic. Dorcas was the Greek. It means gazelle. Many times they would name their girls and so forth after animals for different reasons. But in verse 36, now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works. Now notice, full of good works, an alms deed which she did. In other words, she wasn't like the one I described. Her name wasn't Mud. She had a good reputation. As a matter of fact, she was very useful to a lot of people. Verse 37, and it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom, when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, the disciples had heard that Peter was there. And they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose, and he went with them. And when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber. And all the widows stood by him weeping, and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth, kneeled down, and prayed. Turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner. Now, tonight, let me go with you and cover a couple of subjects here. First of all, I want you to note that Peter come through and he performed some miracles. There was a couple of miracles that he was able to perform through God, helping him. Then there was a miracle performed in him. And I'll talk about that in just a moment too. But now notice here that there was three. Annas was one, a man. Tabitha was a woman. And then he ended up lodging with Simon the tanner. And we'll talk about each one of those. Now, when you read the story of Tabitha, it reminds you of Jairus' daughter, sort of, that when Jesus went and healed her, and he took three of the disciples with him, it was Peter, James, and John. He got to see her raised from the dead. Now, let me first of all say this, because I think it's important to say, and I want you to log this in your mind. Many people are deceived. This idea of all these faith healers running around, regardless what denominations they come from, don't buy into that. Peter was able to do it, but there's a couple things. He didn't have some big arena, and you had to go there. He was led by the Holy Ghost to go to them. He didn't do it for some big show. He put everybody out. There's one got glorified, and that was God.
Right. Amen.
He didn't take a big offering up and use it for accessible things and live like the life of a king. And these people who runs around and takes all this money and goes around and pretends and makes pretense. Somebody said, do you believe that there's such thing as miracles? I think God still works miracles. But I also think the devil can perform miracles. The Bible says that the devil will perform miracles through the Antichrist, the false prophet that he rises up. He'll be able to bring fire down. He'll be able to do certain things that's going to cause people to be deceived. Somebody said, well, do you think any of this could be, some of those things actually happen? I don't know what is, but I'll tell you this. You can't mix what they're doing and how they're doing it. You can't mix the two and say they're of God. God's not going to lead people to get filthy rich And he's not going to lead people to do the things that they've done behind the scenes and around. He's not going to lead people to be con artists and have people to fake and bring up fake and all that. And most of them have been found out sooner or later. That's not what Peter did. And when Peter did it, guess what? There was people that got saved. They saw it. They were convinced. Not only when he came to a man by the name of Ananias. And when he came here, he had the palsy for 8 years. And so everybody was familiar with the fact that he was bedridden. And so notice this, that Peter, he didn't come to Peter, but Peter went to him. And somehow, and like I said earlier, in this area, it's where Philip was preaching and evangelizing. And so through the preaching of Philip, people had recognized and heard about Jesus. And now Peter comes through and he's following up, and God leads him to this man. And when he gets there, he goes and he tells him to arise, that Jesus had made him whole. Now let me say something else. The healing was immediate. There was no doubt about it. And so therefore, these ideas, well, you go home and you do this and you do that and later on and you do this. I'm not talking about somebody who's staged. I'm talking about somebody who's gone. I've known some to go on to faith healers. And they'll tell them all, well, in time you go and in time it'll happen. And you know what? Most of the ones I ever knew that went is dead. Don't buy into that. Does God still heal today? Yes. But I just don't go with these people that put their names in lights and everything's about them. When Peter went to heal as an apostle, given the power of the apostles, and by the way, when's the last time you saw one raise somebody from the dead? That's because they had power. They had power that was specially given to them by Jesus. Jesus was able to raise from the dead, so was they. Paul, an apostle out of due season, he was able to raise from the dead. Remember the young guy who was listening to him preach and he fell out of the window? I'll teach you a lesson about falling asleep during preaching. But anyway, of course, he preached for 3 hours, amen? Probably if I preached for 3 hours, some of you probably would fall asleep. But anyway, get up and leave one. But anyway, the point I'm trying to make is this. Peter come through here and this man, and whenever he was able to heal him, and it was immediate, and people got saved immediately because of it. Quick as they began to see what had happened, they realized that God was in this. And by the way, there's a lot of foolish people today that doesn't read the scripture, doesn't know the scripture, and they're easily misled. That's the danger in what's going on. The Bible says in the latter days many will be false prophets and false teachers and false Christ. And some exalt themselves as high as Christ. But one of these days I'd hate to be in their shoes when they meet the real Christ. Amen. Now, getting on beyond that, then we come in to the second story, which was Tabitha. And Tabitha here was there, and I want to zero in on a couple things about Tabitha. Now notice here that the Bible says a couple things about her. Not only that she was a disciple, but notice here that when she was there, she was evidently very well liked. She was someone who was admired by the other people. She was an ordinary person, but she used her abilities for God. And by the way, your abilities are only as good as your availability. Peter here, whenever he was called upon to go, he could have stuck around and said, well, I'll go some other time, but he didn't. He jumped right on and he went. And Tabitha had died. Evidently, she died at a young age. We don't know anything about what happened to her, what kind of sickness she had, but she died. And when she died, they took her up on the upper chamber. They washed her off. And later, a couple of men heard that Peter was there, and they went to get Peter. They asked Peter if he would come. And when he come, all these widows was around. Why were they around? They brought all these coats and everything that they had made. Now, you got to remember that that the widows during this time didn't have government assistance. And many of them, whenever they have their men or their husbands would die, they didn't have children to take care of them. They were the poorest of poor. That's why the Bible tells us about widows and taking care of widows. And pure religion has to do with widows and those that's without parents. And so today, I want you to look at a couple things. I want to take you a couple scriptures this morning or this evening in thinking about having a name, a good name. You don't have to, Tabitha didn't preach any messages. Don't find anywhere where she taught anything. Not even a word is published that she ever spoke. It wasn't her words that meant something. It was her works. It was what she did. And it wasn't miracle things that she did. She did with what she had to do. And that's where I want to focus our attention on for a few moments. And I want to read a couple scriptures real quickly, if you'll go with me. First of all, notice if you would, in Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31, you're familiar with this, most of you would be. And it is where Solomon talks about a virtuous woman and how she's far more valuable than rubies. And goes on and he begins to list some traits of that virtuous woman. And notice if you would in verse number 19. The Bible says, she layeth her hands to the spindle, her hands hold the distaff, and she stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. In other words, what she did was she saw the need in her community. She saw the poor. She saw the widows. They didn't have anything. She didn't have a lot. But what she would do is she'd make them coats. She'd make them shawls. I kind of got thinking about this, and I got thinking about Mom. Used to, we'd go in, we live in communities, and she would, we'd have people there all the time because we had so many kids. We had a lot of us, and then we had foster children, and so everybody that lived in the neighborhood had somebody close to their age to play with when they come to our house. And sometimes we would have a whole crowd of people. But when they'd be hungry and so forth, she'd never turn them away. And she'd always have compassion for them. And then I think how she would open her house up. Others have opened the house up for the kids. And the Bible says in the book of James, turn over there just a moment. In James chapter 1. In James chapter 1 and verse number 27. The only time we find religion spoken of in a positive way. Says, verse 27 says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. To visit what? The fatherless and the widows in their affliction. And to keep himself unspotted from the world. Look if you would in chapter 2 in verse number 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not what? Can faith save him? Now if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to them, depart in peace, be ye warm and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Now here, James is talking about not works to save you. He's talking about works that you perform to show your faith to other people. Now let me throw a little thing in here. We are living in such a time that it's really hard to understand who's needy and who's con. We have so many people come through this church that's just looking for handouts. They're capable of working. They're able to work, but they won't work. They'd rather you work and give them what you got. And we've had some that's been taught, and we've had some different classes that's been taught, especially during the last administration, that you are deserving of what other people has. And where other people has worked and gained things, you deserve it. Not that you work for it, not that you ought to get up and go get a job, but they ought to just give it to you because they got more than you got. The Bible doesn't teach any such thing. The Bible teaches there'll always be rich, there'll be poor. Some of the rich are going to die and go to hell. But some of the rich have been very hardworking. Some of them give their life to make that living. As a matter of fact, some of them sold their soul to make that money. Others have worked hard. But even those of us who are taxpayers, I don't mind to give my taxes. I don't mind to see them utilize the people who is disabled. Don't bother me one bit. But nothing burns me up anymore than to see someone that is capable and they just take advantage of the taxes. I don't think that's what it's for. And I get tired of paying taxes to people that don't deserve it. Now, I've said all that to say this. Sometimes it's hard to discern. But what I try to do here is in this community, I figure this. I figure if in the community we know legitimately, now a while back, it's been a few years ago, Porter probably knows who I'm talking about. I didn't know him that much. I run into him visiting a time or two. But we had somebody in the community over here that got in a really hard shape. And they got in a bind through sickness and so forth, and we took up an offering. They were not a member of the church, but it was a need in the community. We knew the need was great. We heard about it, and we gave. Some people ask me, they say, well, I've had people got offended when I've turned some people away that just drove up here and wanted something. But let me say this. I didn't mean to get off here, but let me just give you this bit of advice. I look at it this way. Every one of them just about comes through here has the same story. They're going from point A to point B. They started out in point A, and well, like a few, couple of them dropped in a while back last year. There's a man and woman dropped in and said that their car broke down. And they come in, they wanted us to give them money. Well, I said, where'd your car break down? Well, Monticello. I said, well, where exactly is it? Oh, we gave it away. Now, who in their right mind gives your car away? And you're on your feet. Number two, they say, well, I'm going from point A to point B. I said, well, why are you going from point A to point B without any money to begin with? What kind of fool starts a journey and doesn't sit down and count the cost? Now, if it's an emergency, it's one thing. And they'll pretend sometimes, and then I'll ask them this, why do you come to the church? And I'll ask them this, why don't your church help? You know what their answer just about always is? We don't have a church. Why don't you have a church? They don't have an answer. And if they say, well, yeah, we do, I say, well, who is it? Let me have your pastor's name, and I'll call him, and I'll see what the situation is. And, of course, when I do that, they never want to give me the pastor's name, or they don't know what his name is, which tells me something. And what my point is this. I cannot tell you how many people's come through here and have stopped and said that they haven't eaten in days and then find out every church down the road that they stopped at gave them money. And that's a con artist. And I do not believe that the church should be responsible to be taken in by con artists. But I do believe that there are times in our community when we know someone is needed. Sometimes in our church we know that there's a need. I don't care a bit to help out when there's a legitimate need. Amen. Now when people just waste, That's a different story. And sometimes we know that people's not been efficient as they should be. But what my point is this. While we're here, we need to understand that pure religion is to help those truly in need and the widows. And this woman, that was her mission. Her mission was she loved the community. She saw that they had needs, and she made them simple things like coats and shawls. As a matter of fact, when Peter got there, all the widows was there weeping, crying, holding the coats that she had made for them. Now, sometimes we think we have to do some great big old thing to impress God, but this woman impressed God by just using what she had, simple materials, and helping the needy. All of us could do that. And can I say this? It makes an impression upon people when you have helped people out. And so therefore, what we need to do is understand when there's legitimate need. But you don't throw good money to bad. And you don't feed somebody's drug habits, alcohol habits, and things like that. As a matter of fact, I've been asked why we weren't with this PERM up here. PERM is Pulaski County's emergency relief mission. Reason why I don't is when people want it and they go in there and get it for alcohol and cigarettes and all these other things. And it's just like we had some people come here one day. They come here with a dog in the back of the seat, had three 50-pound bags of dog food, had two cartons of cigarettes on the dash, and they told me, the three of them, they hadn't eaten 3 days. I said, well, if I hadn't eaten 3 days, I said, your dog's eating pretty good. I'd either get rid of my dog, I'd quit smoking, I'd do something if I was that hungry. And my point is this, folks. When the Bible talks about helping the needy, it's talking about helping the true needy and poor. It's not talking about these manufactured. As a matter of fact, Paul said this. If a man won't work, what? He shouldn't eat. Somebody said, well, they're hungry. If they're hungry enough, they'll get a job. I stopped and talked to a guy one time, and he started laying some big spill on me there in one of the shopping centers. I said, well, there's a dozen signs there that said they're looking for work. If you're that hungry and you're that needy, why don't you go over and get a job? That's how I get a paycheck. He didn't like it. He wanted somebody to just give it to him. And so, therefore, my point is this. That's not what this woman was about. She was about legitimately helping. Look on, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 4. In 1 Peter chapter 4, I've done got off my message. 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse number 10 says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. When God's give you ability and he's give you gifts, what he wants you to do is use those gifts to help other people. That's what Tabitha did. Now, somebody said, well, why did God take her life? Well, he can take whoever life he wants. And by the way, the fact that she was a disciple, she was far better off. She wasn't hurting where she was going. But that wasn't important. Why did he allow her to come back? He allowed her to come back as a testimony, and therefore he saw, other people saw her come back, and people were saved because of what God did through there. And it was the witness and the work of the Holy Ghost in the early church that made such a difference. Now, my point where I want to go with this, I didn't mean get off on sidetracks, but I did that because in this day and time, a lot of people gets upset. A lot of people see somebody come in here, and they think because they come in here, they think that we ought to automatically just open up a checkbook and write a check to them. I don't think that's right. I don't think that's what God would have us do. And when we know there's a need, that's a different story. But anyway, getting back to here, we are to utilize what God has given us. Somebody said, what can I do for the Lord? Well, what gifts does God give you? You know, I've been busy. I've been really busy. And I haven't stopped hardly for about 3 weeks. And until this week, and it still hadn't stopped much. But, you know, these two guys right here, they didn't want me to say anything, but these two guys right here, both of them getting up in years, and they cut me wood just so I could have some wood. Y'all don't know what that meant to me. And you know, to know that you cared. And I wouldn't have had you out there cutting wood for nothing. But the fact that you did meant so much to me. And just like the other day, Cliff come and asked me about a situation. And it was with somebody else. That meant something. He saw a need and he cared. What God wants out of you is what you can do. It's not that you have to preach. This woman had touched so many hearts by making them coats, Kathy, and by giving them something warm to wear. Somebody said, that ain't nothing. It was something to them that didn't have one. And to know that she did what she could do to help them out. And so different ones of us, and that's what makes a church wonderful. The body has so many different functions. And the finger don't need to be like a toe. Somebody said, I want to sing like them. Well, that might not be your function. Your function might be to make a coat. Cut a piece of firewood. Do whatever else it is. Bake a cake. Now, let me say this. I'm not going to get into this, but the third person I was going to cover, and I'm just going to throw it and leave it, was Simon and Tanner. Peter went to stay with him. You know the amazing thing about that? In chapter 10, anybody know what happens in chapter 10 of Acts? Anybody remember? There's a guy named Cornelius. Remember Cornelius? Remember, he's a Gentile. God's going to show that the Gentiles are being brought into the church. God gives Peter a vision with a sheet, all the unclean animals and clean animals. He told Peter to eat the unclean animal. He said, I've never ate an unclean animal in my life. He said, well, eat it. But you know what? God had done begin to change Peter, because if you go back and read Leviticus chapter 11, verse 35 through 40, a Jew was not allowed to stay with a tanner. A tanner was someone who killed animals and took their hides and tanned them. And therefore he was considered unclean, because he touched the dead bodies and the blood of bodies, and therefore he was considered unclean. And when you read in Leviticus chapter 11, it was Peter. And see, the problem with the Jews was this. God named animals unclean, but the Jews, by the time Jesus got there, had made people unclean. And it wasn't people that was unclean. I mean, I understand a leopard was unclean because of his disease. It wasn't that God wanted people treat people unclean, because they consider Christianity a religion of the Jews, because the Jews wouldn't let nobody in. And so what God did was he was preparing Peter here by letting him stay with Simon to go in chapter 10 and bring Gentiles into the church. And that's what he did through Cornelius and his family. And God witnessed that they were to be brought in by the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the speaking of tongues and the things that took place there. But anyway, getting back, and let me just leave it here. My point is this. Every one of you has abilities that God's give you. I was thinking when I was dealing with this about Brother Don. During his funeral, there were so many people had a testimony about something he'd done. And I found in his Bible, he said,
If it doesn't cost, I won't give anything to the Lord that doesn't cost me something. And I was thinking about what God wants us to do is this. He wants us to be able to give things that is our ability. It may be your ability. I mean, some of your abilities have been to take these little kids. Some of your abilities have been other things. But remember, that's what pure religion is. What Tabitha had was pure religion. She saw needs, and she stepped up and she provided. And how the community loved her and what a witness she was. Just because she used her ability to do the things that needs to be done. And you know, I could go through each one. And I mean, I was thinking about you getting things for the kids at school that came forward. Different things. And how God's used so many of you all in so many different ways. But that's what pure religion is. That's the good stuff. That's what we need to seek to continue to do. Say, amen. Let's stand tonight.
Page 191.
Remember, our abilities is only as good as our availability to be able to utilize those.